Hey, listeners, welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, along with my co-host, David Sims, and our special guest today, Todd Denton of a lot of different companies. We'll get into that later, but we're coming to you from the BRS Consulting Studio here in Little Rock. Hey, no matter how long you've been in business, there's always things we can learn from others' experiences. And the purpose of our show is to be a constant stream of knowledge to our listeners on all topics related to business and entrepreneurship. It's sort of a crash course in how to be an entrepreneur and a CEO. Each week, we bring in a special guest to share with us what they've learned in their industry and try to uncover their keys to success and what lessons they've learned from their successes and their failures. Ultimately, we want to find out whether or not they will swim or sink in the tank. As always, I'm here with my co-host, David Sims. How are you doing today, Dave?
Doing great. Also want to note on the show here, we've got our producer, Gordon Jensen, and we've got Matt Big Dog Haas sitting in with us. Part of the.
So if we throw Todd in there, we got a basketball team.
That's right. I think we'd be pretty good, too. You know, I really think we'd be tough.
Hey, I don't know if you know it or not, but, or saw it, but on the Entrepreneur magazine, the one that says the 50 most daring entrepreneurs, there's a really interesting article by Josh Tetrick, who founded Just. So he was going to come out there and kind of do vegan things, and he got like an eggless mayonnaise and all this stuff. And he says, I'm going to disrupt the food industry, and I'm going to hire disruptors. And what he found out is I hired the wrong people. It was really interesting. He said, we got this thing.
He hired the wrong kind of disruptors.
Yeah. He thought he'd go out and hire people, you know, kind of Silicon Valley thing. Let's hire people that maybe don't know anything the old way of doing business, and we'll do it new ways. And he got into Walmarts and Safeways and Whole Foods with this mayonnaise, and everything looked fantastic. And then all the packaging started falling apart. The lids were popping off, the labels were falling off, and everything else. And he says, I found out that you're better off hiring some people, hire some disruptors, but hire some who really know what they're doing so that you can do it. He says, we finally hired a guy who gave the most boring presentation I've had in the history of all interviews, he says. But that was great because all he wanted to do was talk about warehousing, and that's what we needed. So, and as he sums up, I need to be intelligent enough to know that there's a whole bunch of stuff I don't know anything about. So it's great to be a disruptor as an entrepreneur, but remember, you still need people that have the expertise on your team as well.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true. Well, I'm really excited to introduce our guest, Todd Denton. We're going to talk about Hoop Life, but I got to talk to him and get to know him through a really nice gym complex that he's put together. And I love basketball, coach basketball. He's big into basketball. We all like basketball here in the Shrimp Tank. And the more I got to know him, I thought, well, we just got to have him on the show. So let me just jump in and introduce him. In 2002, Amy's his wife, and Todd, they bought Pediatrics Plus. And at the time of the purchase, the company contracted with 8 therapists and worked with approximately 16 clients. And now they operate out of their home at the beginning, but now they have locations in Arkadelphia, Conway, Frisco, Texas, Little Rock, Russellville, and Sherwood. Of course, you know, Todd's married to Amy, and Amy runs Pediatrics Plus, right?
Yes, day to day. Yeah,
day to day. They got 2 children, Max, who's 11, and Kate, who's 14. And they're basketball players too. Todd also leads a team with Aon's transportation practice, which specializes in alternative risk placement and unique risk financing techniques. He's highly skilled in structuring insurance programs with captive insurance involvement. He's involved in real estate development, investments in Dairy Queens, and we're going to find out a whole
bunch
more stuff.
Like I said, we'd run out of time if we went through every business. He's
a serial entrepreneur.
Serial entrepreneur.
Yeah. I showed him before we started the show. I said, you know, I got you listed as husband, dad, hoopster, businessman, serial entrepreneur, and real estate developer. He said he liked that.
That about
pretty
covers.
Much nailed it, huh?
Yeah,
well, Todd, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, to get us started, why don't you just, I mean, David's giving you a little brief bio, but tell us a little more about yourself, your kids, the hoops, you know, kind of how this, your background story before we get into the details here.
Yeah, so I grew up on a farm down in South Arkansas. Okay. My dad was a basketball coach. My mom was first grade teacher. And so obviously I played basketball, grew up in the basketball gym from the time I was 4 or 5 years old and looking up to these big old tall guys and all they could do with the basketball. And so I ended up doing that as well and playing college basketball. And But, you know, spent a lot of time on the farm and realized that didn't want to do that forever. Mm. That was pretty hard.
Were you like the kid in Hoosiers that he nailed a piece of plywood on a post out at the farm on dirt and shot hoops?
Or? Well, we were a little more progressive than that.
I figured since your dad was coaching, you probably hit the gym.
He ain't that old, man.
We actually built our own, you know, steel backboard and, you know, had a concrete court and lights and, you know, so we had a pretty cool little setup my dad built for me. And so that's kind of how I, you know, grew up. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think what I got full on was I had a great family, mm-hmm. wonderful family. And not only my direct, but my extended family, my grandparents and aunts and uncles. And so I had a great raising. We didn't have a lot. We weren't wealthy by any means, mm-hmm. didn't have a lot of money, but we had a wonderful you know, family unit, and mm-hmm. had about 1,000 acres down there where it was a part-time farm mm-hmm. with cattle and timber. And then we would also, dad was a coach. So, there was a lot going on early morning.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's why you do all the stuff you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we, you know, I come from a long line of really hard working men and women mm-hmm. and, you know, work ethic was something that was instilled in me from a very young age, and responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic.
How'd you meet Amy?
So I moved up to Conway, Arkansas in 1994, and I was probably 24, 25 years old, and to open up several insurance offices up mm-hmm. there and for the company I worked for. And I would go and play basketball at this place called the Conway Regional Fitness Center. Mm-hmm. And every day, and there was this really cute girl at the counter that would ask for my number and then give me a towel to go in and work out or whatever. She was actually asking for my membership number, not my phone
number. You gave your phone number.
The story goes so much better when I say it, when she's asking for my phone number. So sometimes I tell it that way.
Did you give her your phone number every time?
Eventually,
one digit at a time.
That's right.
Yeah, eventually I did. And so little did I know, her dad was a really good – so my dad was a really good basketball player in high school and college, MVP of the high school All-Star game in 1964. Her dad was at that game as a ball boy.
Hmm.
Huh. He played an All-Star game in 65, played for the Razorbacks after that.
Wow.
So we had almost grew up in the same kind of family. Her mom was a first-grade teacher. My mom was a first-grade teacher. Her dad was a coach. My dad was a coach.
Wow. Cool.
So anyway, little did I know, she just loved basketball guys, and I was a basketball guy. And so anyway, we ended up, hitting it off and she's just probably one of the best people I've ever known and definitely one of the smartest people I've ever known.
Mm.
Almost too smart sometimes. But that's how we met.
Oh, that's great. Tell us a little about your work at Aon Transportation. How long you been there? What do you do there?
Yeah, so I've been there 19 years on November 22nd. Mm. And I've been in the insurance business since I was 22 years old. So it puts me 25 years in the business. And so we handle insurance for all kinds of large logistics and transportation practice, our operations like, you know, Maverick Transportation mm-hmm. or Swift or, you name it. We've got some involvement in almost every large transportation logistics firm, including, you know, Amazon, Uber, you name it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we what's cool about it is, I did everything. I sold homeowners insurance. I did life insurance. I did small business. I've called every business owner in a town before, you know, when I was younger. I've done it all. And so what was cool, as I got older, I got a little bored. And so we do a lot of really creative structures. We build insurance companies for people. And, we build, all kinds of unique structures that are more efficient than a traditional insurance company out of the box program.
Interesting, huh?
Hence the captive insurance, which probably 99% of our listeners don't know, but we might be able to have time to get into
it. I got a question for him a little bit later. Yeah.
Well, tell us about Pediatrics Plus. How did that get started and what made you guys decide to do that?
Well, we have a 3 strikes rule in my house. And so that what that means is you can only complain about something 3 times without having to do something about it. So you you can complain, but then at the 4th time, I'm going to say, okay, you need to either quit or do something about it. And so Amy kept coming home and not pleased with, I guess, how she thought things should go with the therapy world and pediatrics. And so I said, well, hey, why don't we just do this ourselves? It can't be that hard. I was really wrong about that. So about 6 months later, she comes home. She says, hey, my buddy who started this little, home therapy business wants to move out of town, and they don't want to take the business with them. And at the time, it was doing about $100,000 in revenue. So we worked out a deal and purchased it, and she ran it out of the upstairs office in our house.
And neither one of you had any background in therapy?
She's a therapist. She's a physical therapist.
Oh, okay. That's right. It was your mom that was a first grade teacher.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But she wouldn't like it if I confused her mom and you.
No, that's okay. But no, she ran it, and it really, we started out with, she and I sat down and we said, okay, what are our fundamentals going to be for the business? And, one was we were going to put the children first. Mm-hmm. That was one of the issues she had where she was before. And then two, we're going to treat the therapists like they're doctors. Hmm. A lot of times in therapy operations and preschools where therapists are, people would be managing therapists that didn't understand the therapy world, mm-hmm. didn't understand the tools they needed, the equipment they needed to do a great job. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, didn't put, the children's needs at first. And so we wanted to turn that on its head and change it. And we felt like if we did those things that we would be really successful. Hmm. And so that's still today our, a fundamental thing that we follow. We're going to put the children first. And we feel like if we put the children first and the therapist, close second, then we're going to be real successful and we'll make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that word fundamental, man. And you're mm-hmm. a basketball coach. You emphasize fundamentals. What makes the game fun? It's fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
It's no fun if you don't have fundamentals.
Well, right? And I'll tell you, it goes in basketball and business and anything else. When you have you're going to have some bad days and you're going to have some tough situations and you're going to want to quit sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you go back in those times, back to your fundamentals, mm-hmm. then you've got a base, you've got a foundation that you can fall back to. And you don't go below that.
Right.
And so I think that's why you've got to do that when you start a business or even as you grow a business, those fundamentals sometimes change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a really good point, too, about Pediatrics Plus. You guys made a decision on the front end. You said this is the company, this is who we're going to be.
That's right.
This is what our culture is going to be. This is how we're going to serve our patients, our children first. And this is how we're going to treat the ones who are treating them. This is how we're going to relate to them, which is
that's right.
Kind of guided the ship.
And I'll tell you, so people started kind of flocking to us, the therapist. Yeah.
Wow.
And then the kids and the parents. And so if you think about a lot of the larger companies, and we didn't know what we were doing, honestly, in the beginning, but we do really study, people like Southwest Airlines and mm-hmm. Starbucks and Chick-fil-A and Apple. And, we read a lot. And what you see with those companies fundamentally is they focus on their product mm-hmm. and they focus on the people that are buying their product or buying their service. And they really try to build that out to be as perfect and awesome as they can. And then everything else just kind of falls in place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we attempted to do.
Yeah, define who you are and then and stick to that.
That's right.
We're going to switch into the business critical thinking segment. And, I know you do real estate development. You got some things going on with Dairy Queens. Let's talk about that. Talk about what you're doing there and what you've learned from that. And
And what are your criteria for deciding I'm going to invest in this or that?
Right.
That'd be very helpful for our listeners. How to start evaluating opportunities.
Yeah, I think for any entrepreneur, there's always too many things to invest in and not enough money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to be really disciplined. And so what we decided a few years ago is we're going to go down four paths. We're going to go Pete's Plus. We're going to go down the real estate development path only for stuff that we actually, work out of. So we won't do third party real estate development. Mm-hmm. We have a software business that we built, out of that came out of Pete's Plus, and then, the Dairy Queen, the food service business, food service business was somewhat of a diversification. And my godson was running a bunch down in Texas. Mm-hmm. And kind of same deal, wanted to do it his own way. And so we got together, moved him here, and it just happened to be that Central Arkansas didn't have any Dairy Queens, and it was one of the spots they really wanted to build out. Mm. Total luck, or as it would, mm-hmm. just fate. And so, you know, we're building out several here in central Arkansas, and we've got an opportunity to probably buy some others. And so we're trying to stay in those four lanes, yeah. and it's really, really hard because you've got people coming at you all the time with ideas. But you've got to stay focused. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, and you can only do so much, there's only so much brain share. And I get it all the time. Like, how do you do all this stuff? Right. And, one, you've got to have amazing people in every one of those areas mm-hmm. to really run it, to really do it day to day. And then you've got to, you know, help grow those people that you have in charge of that business, mm-hmm. And give them the tools they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Because one of the things you said earlier is, you know, entrepreneurs have to, our business owners have to understand what they don't know.
Right. Right.
I think one thing you'll find is that most really talented business owners can be really detailed. They can go deep into something if they want to. Mm-hmm. They may not have time to do it anymore because their right. business has grown, but they can go really deep. And if you hear Elon Musk talk about his business, you know, he talks about getting into the details. Like, he's deep into the details of a lot of what goes on at Tesla and SpaceX and others. And I think you'll see that. But at the same time, you got to hire great people and let them do their jobs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think I've done a few different businesses over the years, and it really does come down to the people.
No question. And it sounds anecdotal, and you hear it all the time. It's like, right. this goofy little thing everybody says, but it is fact.
It's like BRS Consulting, you know, if I hadn't hired David.
Right. Where would you be today?
I didn't hire him. We just got thrown together. but it's really true. I mean,
what he means to say is, I'm a great guy.
Exactly.
Right.
We don't know why it works, but it works. We just complement each other on our skill sets and our expertise and things like that. And that's one of the things that's just a really blessing when you find the good people.
Yeah, and I'll say that's exactly what's happened with me and my wife. You know, we are completely different, very different. And so, you know, I was always the business side of things. She was always the technical, you know, medical side of things. But she's become a really good, amazing business person, and makes great decisions on that side now. Mm-hmm. So
that's really neat.
I want to ask you one quick question, just because I want our listeners to hear about it, because it's available here in Little Rock, is Hoop Life. Real quick,
yeah.
Describe what it is and why you did it.
Well, it's a really expensive passion project.
As our other guest we had last week said, it was a hobby that got out of control.
Absolutely. It's a community project that is just awesome. So, you know, what happened is my daughter was starting to play basketball, and we had a travel team, and we couldn't find places to practice. And, you know, I'm pretty busy, so scheduling that was difficult. And so we talked to several people, and it didn't look like the city was probably ever going to build anything out west of town for publicly. And so I said, hey, if we're going to do this, let's do it while our kids can enjoy it. My sister has two boys, and they both play basketball, and her husband's a ex-college basketball coach. Hmm. He was down at OBU and several other places.
They live here in town too?
They live here in town. Oh, she works for us. So anyway, we just decided, hey, let's do it. And so we spent time, you know, going around the country looking at other facilities, and we came up with what we built, which was, you know, two full court basketball courts, you know, a video room, a bunk room for overnight retreats, and full weight room, lots of vertical leap equipment to make you, you know, jump through the roof, and which is really important. Yeah. I'm not sure everybody understands that, but you do have to learn how to jump if you want to be good at basketball.
That's right. That's right.
And so it's just been a really cool thing to walk out there, and in the afternoons, it's on my way home, and so a lot of times I'll stop and to see the kids out there. You know, it's full of kids learning how to play basketball, and I'm convinced that you'll see a lot more great basketball players in the next 5 years and 10 years coming out of West Little Rock, because they've got a facility to really work on it. Like, if you wanted to be good at basketball in the past, it was really difficult to find a place to do it and for the trainers to find space to be able to train. Mm-hmm. So we've got probably some of the best trainers in the state working out of there. I know that because all these NBA and professional players are out there training with them. Right. So they've got to be pretty good. My kids train with them, and so I watch them, and I've played at a pretty high level. So I know these guys know what they're doing, And I'll tell you, the articulation of all the different moves and strategies as a basketball player are much more advanced today than they were 15, 20 years ago, right. how to teach everything.
Yeah.
So if they put the time in, they can be good.
That's right.
They can
be good. Frequency, intensity, and duration, right?
Absolutely.
That's right. So, hey, looking back, Todd, what's one thing you would maybe do differently or start earlier? A lot of all the things you've done and are involved in.
What would I do differently?
Or maybe start something earlier.
Well, there's so many things I'd do differently.
Or stop something earlier.
Yeah. I think that's hard to say, but I there's a lot of things I do differently. We make mistakes every day. Mm-hmm. But as far as what I would have started earlier, it would have made sense for us to probably grow a little quicker with Pete's Plus. Mm-hmm. But what we decided is we didn't want to give up ownership, mm-hmm. because we think that the culture of Pete's Plus is the magic. Mm-hmm. And we felt like if we gave up ownership, we might lose the ability to control that. And so we grew slower so that we could maintain that. So that's one of the things I would change. And
That's good.
And then I probably would go ahead and hire more expensive people earlier than I've done in the past. Like you think that you worry about what you pay people, mm-hmm. and it's always important. It is really important. But great people just make great things happen. Wow. If you find great people,
that's a great point.
They're going to make money for you.
Invest in people.
Oh
and
my
be
gosh!
Be willing to risk that capital on that.
And it's, I still remember when we've hired our first really expensive person at the time. That was kind of funny because they're really not. What the number wasn't that big, but it was. To
it just seemed big then.
Yeah, and we were a little scared to do that, but yeah. it really pays off.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey Todd, kind of going into our seeking wisdom question, what do you think is the number one lesson you learned from your serial entrepreneur experience? Whether it's a life lesson, every business I ever do, this is important, and I'm glad I learned it.
If I think two things. One, I think it makes a lot of sense to do what you're going to do at a young age where you don't have a lot to lose. Mm. I think when you have kids and you've already had a job and you worry about completely committing and doing it. So I would, I would tell people that if you got something, a really good idea at a young age, go do it, go try it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to lose? You got nothing now.
Right.
but when you get older and you got a 10 and 12 year old or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you got to pay for everything, and it's just you make different decisions. You're more careful,
right.
than mm-hmm. you should be, and to some extent, great ideas come out of maybe a reckless approach to things. Mm-hmm. Now, what was your question again?
Oh, just like the number one lesson you learned from all your entrepreneurship. So I said either life lesson or in business. So
well, I think I was a little bit late to the game of. Realizing that I can't do everything really well. I think I have a really broad skill set, so there were a lot of things I could do pretty well. But I was older when I finally realized that, when I started really respecting other people and their skill sets and the value they bring to the company, mm-hmm. instead of thinking that I could do everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And now I've probably almost gone in the other direction where I was going, I don't really need to do that because I can hire somebody amazing. But I was a little late to the game on that. And I think I really wish I could go back and change that and do that earlier.
Real quick, explain what captive insurance is and how it works in your business model and your expertise in it. That's a really important and interesting concept. We've had some exposure to that.
So a lot of... most of the time it's larger businesses, are spending, let's say, over a couple of $1 million a year in insurance. Most of my clients are spending anywhere from $100 to $200 million a year in risk transfer, or total cost of risk. Hmm. And, so when you get to that level, there are a lot of levers you can pull. Right. And the traditional insurance carrier might not be the most effective approach to buying insurance or transferring your risk. And so a captive insurance company allows you to actually take the risk in a particular area and take that on yourself. So let's say some insurance company wants $2 million for a $5 million limit on auto liability, and the projected losses are $500,000. Well, it might make sense for you to set your own insurance company up and right. take that risk yourself, save that $1.5 million, and that's, you've created a more efficient approach to that
right.
that risk.
Yeah. So you create a separate legal entity.
Yep.
That is the separate entity, but you control that and you pay that premium to that entity.
That's right.
That you would be paying outside.
That's
and you have more control.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's just another business. And I'll tell you the other thing it does. It formalizes the risk management department in a company mm-hmm. too, the mm-hmm. risk and safety department, because you've got tens of millions of dollars sitting in Cayman or South Carolina or wherever you set it up. The owners and the management team are going to watch that closer.
That's right.
If you have an expense line, so if your safety department, your risk management department mm-hmm. is an expense line, the ownership management is not going to watch it as close as if there's 10 or 15 or $50 million sitting
right.
somewhere.
Right.
They're going to watch that $50 million.
That's right.
They're not going to watch that $1 million line item over there as close. Yeah. So it really is a paradigm shift, and it's very effective. I've never really put one in place where you didn't see, a safer, more efficient operation years mm-hmm. later.
Yeah, fascinating. Good.
Well, Todd, we're coming to the last segment of our show. Don't know if you've heard other podcasts, but this is kind of the fun one. It's called Plead the Fifth.
Okay.
And what we do here is we're going to try.
I'm a little scared.
We're trying.
I've seen this on TV.
We're going to ask you questions we hope you won't answer, because if you don't, we get a point.
Okay. All right.
If you answer it, you get a point. And, it's supposed to be embarrassing or something, but we found that people are willing to answer a lot more than we would expect. But anyway, so we're going to go through five questions here. So I get the first one here. Who's the dirtiest basketball player you've ever played against? And you can't say Nelson Lively.
If I can't say Nelson, I don't know how to answer. But Nelson was always on my team, so that's okay, right? Yeah, that's a tough one. I wouldn't want to. Maybe if I watched, Danny Ainge might be right there.
I'm going to give us a point.
We got a point on that one. All right. So, what's your ROI and IRR on Pediatrics Plus so far?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. When you're in a steep growth curve, you're not going to make a lot of money.
All right. I guess he gets a point.
You got
that
a point
one.
On okay. that one. All right.
All right. What's your total Dairy Queen investment so far?
Wow. You guys are tough.
We're not going to accept too much. We let you get away with not enough.
You got to be a dollar. You got to be an exact dollar amount.
You want me to answer in ice cream cones or in dollars?
We won that one, I think. All right. Give me some real dirt on Nelson Lively.
Nelson Lively. So Nelson is this 6'8", larger-than-life character who I met when I was 24 years old, 22 years old, and has become one of my good friends. His kids are my godsons. Mm-hmm. Both of them work for and with me now. He's just a awesome friend. But he is one mean dude. So you do not want to cross Nelson. But here's on the other side. If you want him to be your friend, because if you're walking down a dark alley, you want him next to you, right? He is one big mean dude, but he's a tough man guy. So I remember watching him in Tough Man several years ago, and he literally punched this guy, and then he bent him over the ropes and he like broke the guy's back. He couldn't go to work. And but otherwise you'd say, if you talk to him right here, you go, man, this is the biggest teddy bear ever, but he's mean.
Man, wonder you guys won so many. You guys have won some 3-on-3 basketball tournaments.
We played 3-on-3 all over the country.
Yeah.
But if you ever met, he's one of those people, if you've ever met him, you never forget him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's so
true. That's true.
That's true. Yeah. He's a great guy.
All right. I got the last one. This is it. You got two. We got two. What was Amy wearing on your first date?
I can't answer that.
We won one.
I could answer it, but she would get mad at me.
Oh, that's good.
That is funny. Well, Todd, you didn't fare as well as others have because I think we got tired of losing.
I think we've won one out of it. No, I've been watching the Senate hearings, and I knew not to really answer, but not answer.
Thanks for playing along.
So, Todd, our show sponsor is BRS Consulting, and they refer themselves as rehirement, not retirement advisors. And by that, what they mean is that, you know, once you reach your goals, once you have enough money and savings to fund your living expenses, there's more to life. And it's kind of the idea of what are you going to be rehired to in order to pay back or give back? And the end goal of the planning process with our sponsor is to be a generous steward and leave a lasting legacy. So what kind of legacy goals do you have once you hit your retirement years?
That's a great question. Maybe I'm a little young to be thinking about that a lot, but I do think about it some. And I think you think about it mainly when you think let's just say you died all of a sudden, right?
Right.
And I would hope that, you know, Hoop Life would be a legacy that, I've left something for, you know, the people of Central Arkansas to use and help them, you know, get closer with their kids and their kids be better at basketball. And then I would hope that I've helped a lot of people become more successful within our companies and folks that I meet with on a daily basis, just that want to meet with me. And maybe give those, I think I hopefully give people courage to go out and do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. Maybe they're a little timid or they're not as bold as they should be. Mm-hmm. And I try to encourage them to, you know, take some risk and go out and try it. Mm-hmm. You have to go try it.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I've done that.
That's great. That's great.
Todd, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. For folks that want to get in touch with you, either learn more about Hoop Life or learn more about Pediatrics Plus or anything, what's the best way for them to either get in touch with you or Amy?
Yeah, just email me at todd_denton@att.net.
Excellent. Hey, thanks again for being on the show. For those of you who are listening and may have not caught the entire podcast, you can always go to arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com, download the entire podcast. You can also hit that subscribe button and get every one of them on iTunes. And also, we have a YouTube channel with about a 5 or 6 minute post-show video wrap-up that you can catch the highlights. So until next week, stay safe and remember to become a shark in the business world. We all start out as shrimp.